The book of Ephesians, the third chapter, and 12 verses. First 12 verses. For this stand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now what had gone before was never fully revealed until the time of the apostles, the founding fathers of the church, upon whom we build the church. They're our foundation by the word. But remember, at the end time, the fullest revelation of all comes into view. Just keep that in mind. See, many people read this and they say, well, now you got to go back to Paul and that's it. That's not so. The latter reign is greater than the former reign. The latter temple is greater than the former temple. And the last revelation, the Revelation 10, is the only full revelation guaranteed in the Word of God, because it's all the prophets. From the very first prophet, God himself, in the Garden of Eden, to the last prophet, God himself, descending the pillar of fire, every mystery must be made known by the voice of the seven church age messenger. Now, you may wonder why I'm so strong in my pronouncement, because I'm going to stick with the Word of God. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if all my friends leave me, and anybody can produce a million miracles. I'm going to stand with the one thing. Either he was that messenger or he was not. I'm going to stand either deluded, or I'm going to stand with the perfection that God is guaranteed to give. All right. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto sons of men, and is now revealed unto his holy apostles and his prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Now notice in that 10th verse it says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenlies might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now this verse, of course, is my text for the mighty God's achievement on display, which is the church manifolding or channeling into manifestation the manifold wisdom of God, the many-faceted wisdom of God. Now, there are two very important things that we know about God above all other things that we know about him. And one is that he is omniscient. And next, that he is omnipotent. Now, there is no scripture that says that God is omnipresent. Many people think he is, but he is not omnipresent. If God were omnipresent, that would constitute a paganism or pantheism. I breathe in air. I'm breathing in God. I wave my arms. I wave my arms through God. I pick up my glasses. That's God. That's not so. God is not all present. He is not everywhere. He is not in the heart of the sinner. He is not in hell. Though you make your bed there, he could come down to it and get you out of it. But all things, as the Westminster Confession of Faith says, all things are present with God. Because if you are omniscient and omnipotent, you don't need to be omnipresent. See? You are automatically that by the fact you know everything and can do everything. So the two major qualities of God are omniscient and omnipotent. Now, he knows everything. He doesn't have to learn anything. What he knows, he has always known. He's not learning. Many people think that omniscience with God is he knows everything that's going on. He knew it before it ever took place. See, that's omniscience. And also, he can do anything. Doesn't matter what it is. His ability or power guarantees the manifestation of his knowledge. See, his ability. That's his power to do. His omnipotence guarantees that he can bring into manifestation his omniscience or his knowledge. See, only God could do that. He can perform what he desires. If he doesn't want to do it, he doesn't have to do it. And you can't make him do it. He only does what he wants. That's why his will is done in the earth, the armies of heaven, and no man can say, why are you doing this? He can achieve any plan or purpose that he conceives. See, whatever he conceives, he can do it. This omniscience we call God's wisdom. What he knows, this omniscience, is God's wisdom because he's a wise God. He is an all-wise God as well as he is an almighty God. And he is never anything but wise. See? Never anything but wise. You know, people are looking at life and even reading the Bible, they wonder if God did some wise things. See? Well, God is always wise. He is never anything but wise. See? Now, because he is nothing but wise and he is always wise, then all his ways are perfect. Because his power is used to bring his thoughts into manifestation, and those thoughts are perfect. See? If God's all wise and he's perfect wisdom, then all his ways have got to be perfect because his ways are nothing but the manifestation of his wisdom. Wisdom brought into existence in the manifestation. He cannot make a mistake. See? He cannot be accused of error since he can only put into action his perfect wisdom because that's all he's got to put into action. See, if you and I had only perfect wisdom, we'd never boo-boo. Never make an error. See? But God does have perfect wisdom. So therefore, every time he acts, his ways must be perfect, as the Bible says. All his ways are perfect. They're past finding out, but they're perfect. Why? Because God's got perfect wisdom. And he can only do what he conceives, which is his perfect wisdom. So therefore, everything that God does is absolutely perfect. That's why James says over here in this first chapter of the epistle, and verses 16 and 17, he said, every good and... No, do not err, my beloved brethren. He said, don't make a mistake here, beloved brethren. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. See, you can't find anything in God. Anything in God's wisdom. Anything in what God does to have even a shadow to it. See, now, God conceived the universe. See? It had to be thought of by somebody. God conceived the universe. He spoke it forth, and it was perfect. That's right. God conceived it and spoke it. And when he spoke it, it had to come into existence because the Word of God is creative. That's his omnipotence. See? Every last infinitesimal thing about the universe that he conceived is, he conceived it. See? The little tiny flea. The little cell within the vein of a leaf, our own body, every cell is a city of factory, so minute and so complex. There's realms that science haven't even got to. It's so minute. And then there's that which is so vast and tremendous that there's stars out there that take millions of light years to go to. They'll find out it's only a circle, but they think it's that far anyway, because they don't understand what God tells in his word, because it's all a circle. He said that, see. But everything, even the most infinitesimal, God conceived in his wise mind, and he brought it forth by his omnipotence. And today we never get through admiring the wonders of a snowflake. They say billions of tons of snow, and yet every snowflake different from every other snowflake. Billions of leaves out there in the trees. Every leaf is different on that same tree from every other leaf on the very same kind of a tree until it's fantastic. We marvel at the beauty of a sunset and life with all its facets. And surely in a million ways, in a million days, we see the wisdom and the greatness of God. But God lets us in on something. he makes a point-blank statement from his intelligence to our intelligence about what he considers the greatest manifestation of his wisdom on display. And he spells it out here in the book of Ephesians, which I have just read, and we go back to for a minute to see it again. In this third chapter, he speaks of it. And he says, to make all men to see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent. Now, remember, all things were created by Jesus Christ. All the great things that he did. His manifold wisdom that nobody could even begin to look into. His tremendous power that nobody could conceive. It said all of this was to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in the heavenly. Now, they're the ones that ought to know. They're way before this earth. You just can't bring this to worldly people and they see anything. Can't be done. But to those that have the intelligence and the understanding, the ability, or something whatever to appreciate, see, to comprehend, it says, might be made known by the church. See? The manifold wisdom of God. God's manifold, many-faceted, wonderfully diverse wisdom of God is brought into play in the church, and all the ages will look at that church and see God's wisdom channeled into her and through her to reproduce, as it were, this great wisdom of God. See? Now, he spells out now for his, he spells out for us his own assessment of his achievement. See? And here it is in Ephesians, this third chapter. He cries out that all the principalities and the governments of the heavenlies see my diversified, my multifaceted, the whole panorama, as Brother Branham would say, of my wisdom, observing it by means of the church. See? God's masterpiece, not the masterpiece Brother Branham preached about. I'm not talking about that masterpiece, because that masterpiece was God himself. This is not God. This is a masterpiece of God's creation. See? The church. Now just think of it. God called on his wisdom as creator to make the universe. And that's all there was to it. He called on his wisdom as a giver of life. And life began on the earth with the leaves and the seeds and all those things. He called on his wisdom to produce the plants and to make them separate and diverse, so all these leaves out there are absolutely different. It was done. He called on his wisdom to separate the various kinds of life, and some are so close as to be amazing, and science tries to link them and say, well, that's got to be a form of evolution. They get all mixed up, you see. He called on his wisdom as creator to do that, and he did it. See, just that part of his wisdom, the creatorial wisdom he called on, and he did it all out here, and it's fantastic what you look at. But when he summoned all his great wisdom and all his great power to bring forth his crowning achievement, he brought forth into manifestation before all dominions and might and everything of note a church into which he channeled all his wisdom. In other words, the manifestation of that wisdom. If God's greatest work is ever seen to be appreciated, it will not be a sunset, although it's wonderful. It will not be a beautiful mountain, a desert scene, or a million other delights. The wisdom of God will be seen only as the congregation brings it into view. Now then, let us analyze this. And we'll go a little deeper here to see what this is all about. How can the church be this masterpiece that we speak of? How can it be his great achievement displayed before the world? Well, that is not too difficult if we'll but think a little. We got to think a little. Everything a man does is exactly a manifestation of some attribute. If I paint a lovely picture, I simply am expressing one of my attributes. See? That's right. If I compose a beautiful song, it is the same. I am expressing and bringing into manifestation an attribute. If I sing that song with great beauty, it is simply the very same thing. Thus I am my own masterpiece or failure as I take my attributes and express them to the highest, or I fail to express them. See, what I produce is actually a manifestation of myself. See, it is my attributes on display because I am producing what is within me, my ability, my wisdom, my understanding, and those complex things that we don't know too much about, but we sure do utilize. Now, the church then is God's greatest expression of His attributes. For bringing her into manifestation, He placed all His godly characteristics and attributes into the act. See, into the act of bringing her forth, it took everything that was in God Himself to, He had to utilize it to bring this forth. It is the supreme achievement and the finest manifestation of God that He could produce. See, now keep in mind, I'm not talking about Brother Brad's masterpiece. It's something different, see. As the picture produced, now get it, see, as the picture produced is not the man himself. You see a most beautiful canvas. That's not the man himself. If those are real flowers up there, that's not God. See, follow me? As the picture produced is not the man himself, the artist himself, but the masterpiece of the artist, so is the church not God, but God's masterminded masterpiece. See, Jesus was God. That's different. See? Now before we go further, we want to see if other scripture does not back this up. Now, just reading again Ephesians 3:10. To the intent now that unto the principalities and powers in the heavenlies might be brought into full view by means of the church, the variegated, the whole variegation of God's wisdom. See? Through all the ages to come. Okay, let's go back to Hebrews now. Now that word in the Greek is congregation, but it's the same thing. Because you know why the word congregation is there instead of church? Because we talk of this as a church, but remember, you go right back to the beginning of the bride. Every elected one in Christ, Jew and Gentile, way before there was a Jew. See, they all become one in Him. See, it's election. Now, Hebrews, the second chapter, 11 to 14. For both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. Jesus and the bride have the same source. For which cause He, Jesus, is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare my name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. No place else does the magnificent worship of God come forth but in the bride. Hallelujah. Just need to get a little religious right now. We'll start shouting. Don't be afraid to have a little time, because we're going to have a good time before it's over. I'd be here 2 hours. Just pray for my voice. It doesn't wear out, because I'm not about to. Now, for, and again, I will put my trust in Him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. See? If Christ is the masterpiece, then what about the bride? She's the second masterpiece. See? Whereas He was God Himself producing Himself, now He has produced this. See? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's get loosened up. Don't be afraid. I won't choke you down. You won't choke me down. Now listen. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same. Sure He did. He didn't take it all. He couldn't. Because human blood wasn't the answer. A preacher out there in the West one day in California come in, he preached a sermon out there in the West, and he said, now I told the folks, he said, that Jesus' blood was our blood. I said, hold it! Where did you get that from? If His blood was like our blood, it was sinner's blood. See? Why, just in Shalom, I think it is, or what was it, standing in the gap? I don't know, I read so many, I don't know where it's from. But Brother Branham said, he said His blood was not human blood. It wouldn't have sufficed, it was the blood of God. He took upon Himself the likeness of sinful flesh. He was made like unto us, only member-wise. Even as we were made member-wise like unto God, but not God. So he took upon himself the form of human flesh. Why? Because he was going to elevate the bride to the very position he would be in that throne seat. Why? Now, why did he take this body upon him? In order to die. It was his death. See, he took part of the thing. He took on himself a robe of flesh. That true death, he might paralyze him that has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, with that, we go back to Ephesians, the first chapter, just hopping around here to get the picture, to see if I've got a right to say what I'm saying. Don't want to take it just from one scripture, but many. All right, Ephesians 1, 22, 23. And hath put him all, hath put all things under his feet, and gave him Jesus to be the head over all things of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, what higher thing could be given to man than to be called that literal vehicle of the Christ himself? This is not attributed to anybody whatsoever except the bride. Nobody has a share in this. No angels, no cherubim, no seraphim, no spirits, no sir. It is men. And that's what? That is the bride. Now, with this all to Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. The great gathering, the great achievement of God, the great final purpose, as you can see right here, is to bring together them that are in Christ, which is what? The church, the congregation, or the bride. And again, in Ephesians 1 and 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The only thing that Almighty God keeps for himself is the bride. The bride has all the rest, and he gets this. See, you follow what my subject is now this morning. All right, let's go to Revelation and clinch it a little further. At least I won't be accused of just giving you half a loaf this morning. Revelation 21, 9 and 10. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Here, the very wife of God. Amen. See? And he carried me away in the spirit in a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Back in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, and verses 30-33, it said, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. See? All right. If he was the masterpiece, what kind of a masterpiece will stand in his stead? Or stand as his replica? The very identical. See, there's your masterpiece again. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now the two masterpieces become one masterpiece. And all the ages are going to look at this great masterpiece that God has brought forth, which is the bride. Now, let us get back to our thought that what God produces is God reflected. What God produces is God reflected. See, brought into manifestation, God seen. Now let's prove our point. We go back to the book of Romans, the first chapter, just to make sure we're saying the right thing. If I can say what the Bible said, brother, sister, then I'm going to be all right, because Peter said, let a man speak as the oracles of God. Now, in this 19th to 20th verse, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Manifest in them, manifest to them. See? Now you can know, see? For God has showed it unto them. How? For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, They are without an excuse. You can know right here by looking in nature. There is such a tremendous God above this universe, though you can't see Him. There must be some tremendous government. There must be some tremendous eternal thing that a man ought to take time off and seek God some way because he looks out there and sees Him by nature. See, what a great God there is. What a great, tremendous God there must be. He cannot be affected by time. He cannot be affected by storm. Nothing can affect Him. But His mighty works being on display, see? And so, therefore, we are right when we say that what God produces is God reflected. So with the bride. See? She has to be a manifestation of His attributes. And indeed she is. She has to be a manifestation of His attributes, just like out here. See? But remember, this is simply creatorial, not truly revelatory. See? No. Can't be. You follow me? Therefore, God surely manifested Himself through Jesus, and this same one has elected the bride to the same position, then she also must be the manifestation and the reflection of Christ. As a bride reflects the taste of the groom, so it must be then a bride that will thoroughly reflect what Jesus Christ is like. Going back, therefore, now to Ephesians again, the first chapter. And verses 3 to 9. We read these beautiful scriptures that we all love so much. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us to set above. Notice, to the praise of the glory of His grace. That's an attribute right there, see? Wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. There's your bride. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to His grace. What more could you want? Wherein He has abounded toward us with all wisdom. How much wisdom? All of it. Prudence, how much? All of it. Sure. Knowing just where to draw the line. Yes, sir, you tell me God's not perfect in His wisdom and perfect in all His ways. Absolutely perfect. Look around out here and say, well, I don't think that's perfection. That's your thinking. That's not God. Because one day He said, I'm going to display it, and you're going to see it. All the ages, all the heavenlies, anybody with any discernment, anyone with anything on the ball, so to speak, He's going to say, look at that, the manifold wisdom of God. See? Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. Now, that's right. Let's go now to Romans, the 8th chapter. And verses 28 to 30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are thee called according to His purpose. Amen. See? A great purpose. What great purpose? To bring the manifold wisdom of Almighty God into full display through all the ages. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Yeah, that's the bride again. That's the one. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? You can't answer. If God be for us, who can be against it? That's kind of a poor climax there, but it's the truth. It's not that it's a poor climax, but I mean to say, what else could you say? My, no, even Paul couldn't get a revelation on that one, I don't think. I don't think anybody could. Why? Because although you get all the revelation of God, how could you possibly really express it? You could do your best, but unless the Holy Ghost took a hold of you and made you express it, you'd never be able to tell it. In 1 Timothy, in 2 Timothy, the first chapter in verse 9, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ before the world began. See? You follow that? His own purpose. God's great purpose was what? Getting this bride, getting these elected, getting the congregation, see, wherein his manifold wisdom through all ages could be displayed. Now back to Romans again. The 9th chapter. And in verse 11, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. That's the purpose of God. The purpose of God according to election might stand, not a work, but of him that called it. My brother, my sister, if you were going to produce a masterpiece of all ages, would you be indiscriminate? If you were going to produce a masterpiece of all ages on a canvas, would you pick up any old type of paint? Would you pick up any old brush? Would you pick up any old piece of canvas? Or would you begin to choose? Would you begin to watch? Would you begin to plan? Would you begin to prepare? Would you call upon everything you had to produce it? Then people don't believe in election. Pardon my expression, you've got to be sick. If you don't believe in predestination where the prophet taught it, there's something wrong. You've got a God who didn't prepare the bride as well as the painter who worked that canvas over before he painted those cows. I don't know if that's even a photograph. I can't tell this. This might be a photograph. Who knows anymore of this? Might be a photograph of something painting on. God preparing a masterpiece without election, perish the thought. Well, you demean God to being below an ordinary person. See? See, he said here, that there it is now. The true church or bride was conceived in the mind of God. That she'd have to be conceived there. Certainly, where else could she be? She was eternally in his thinking. And every thought and all wisdom, and every other thought and all wisdom was gathered into this plan to bring it to pass. That's to bring the bride. See? Now, look at verses 8 and 10 of Ephesians 1. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. See? Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. All those thoughts, all his wisdom, see, every one of the elect, in Christ, which are in heaven, and which are on earth, even in him. Some are up there right now. Sure, they've been taken up to be with him, see. Now, with the thought, let us see Revelation again. Nine and ten, which we read, come hither and I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me in spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, New Jerusalem, descending from God. And in verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. See? And verse chapter 22, 3 to 5, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead, and there shall no light be no light there. They shall need no candle, neither light of sun, for the Lord giveth them, Lord God gives them light, and they shall win him forever and ever. This is the absolute consummation of God's eternal plan of the ages. There aren't any more. It's run out. This is it. This is what will be. There's no future bride, no future home, no future anything. See? Now, can you tell me God wouldn't bring all of his wisdom into play to bring this to pass? God wouldn't bring every facet of God, His great omniscience, His great wisdom, His great intelligence, and His omnipotence to see that He could accomplish the very thing He's going to do. And this is it. This is the very eighth. This is the achievement. See? There is no more record. This is it. This is that purpose fully exposed. Sure it is. The bride and the lamb. It is to have a church, a bride forever. This is the mystery we just read over here in Ephesians, the fifth chapter. So let's go to it. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, of His bones. Who was it Adam married? Part himself, see? Married, he married of his own flesh, as it were. His own one. Now, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother. That's why Jesus left His heavenly glory. Became a man in order to get the many-membered wife. See? And shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Christ and that bride. See? If He's a masterpiece, she's got to be a masterpiece. See? This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even himself, and the wife see she reverence the husband, which is the same as Christ with the church. This is another mystery, I believe, of the seven thunders. I can't say it is, but I believe it is one of the mysteries. And Brother Branham brought this out in Marriage and Divorce, showing you from the beginning. See? And what it is today. And also in The Invisible Union of the Bride, preached in Shreveport in 1965. I believe that was the message of November 25th, Thanksgiving Day, a Thursday. See? Now, thus, to my thinking and my understanding, the Word of God, the glorious bride forever with the King and like Him, in all His perfection, and enjoying all of Himself and His goodness, is the purpose of God. A full revelation of Himself in the bride. So getting back to the thought of the original plan. The bride was in the mind of God. She was His eternal special thought. And what is a thought? It is something unexpressed, usually a word. Now, these thoughts must be expressed to be brought into manifestation. Let us see the first children of God being brought into being. We go back to Genesis then, chapter 1. (clears throat) 26 to 27. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created him. Now creation means to take and make something out of nothing. In other words, God's wisdom is brought into full manifestation, see, by the spoken word, which is His power. When He speaks it, it comes into absolute manifestation. So in God's wisdom now, He brings forth this male and female. Now notice, God said, see, and when He said it, they came into being. Create a word. But He only said what was in His mind. Because that's all He can say. He cannot say what is not in His mind. He can only say what is in His mind. See? And when He said it, it had to be done. Adam was God's thought expressed. See? And notice, He produced him right in His likeness. If you could look at God, what you could look at, look like a man. See? And He'd be a triune being. Just like God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, so this man's body, soul, spirit. See? Now, Adam became the word or thought expressed and brought into view. See? He brought into view the thought of God. This existence in the mind is foreknowledge.
See?
This existence in the mind is foreknowledge. Now let's go to Romans 8 again. And watch this. Remember, the best that a man like Arthur Pink could do, and he was the greatest authority on this till Brother Branham came along, was that we were always before the mind of God. But Brother Branham told us the truth, which was the Word of God, so we were in the mind of God, as those unexpressed thoughts. So 8 and 29 says, for whom he did foreknow. Now, how long have you been known? As long as God has been. What were you? You were a thought.
See?
Just like Adam.
See?
Don't get carried away in what you think somebody taught you. Stick with what the prophet taught you.
See?
Don't get stumbled over this. This is a stumbling today all over the world. People have backslidden from the truth. The Baptists, the Presbyterians, and the Reformed, they have all backslidden from it. You've got a modern Billy Graham version that you were in Christ in the sense that Christ had to come here, and now you get in Him. How in the name of common sense could you be in Him before the foundation of the world? You can't have your cake and eat it. Awake with the intelligence that God gave us. See? It says here, whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate. He gave a predestiny. How can you give a predestiny to somebody that's not even here? Unless he was there in the beginning. This has to do with individuals. Like the wave sheaf offered to God by the resurrection was a sheaf of many stalks of wheat with many berries, individuals. But in the resurrection was a loaf. They came up as a church. Hallelujah. See? All right. The unexpressed as yet. The foreknown. The unexpressed as yet. I don't have to wait to paint to make those flowers if I've got the ability. Those flowers are already there waiting. For what? Simply to take a body. And no matter how much material there is, if I haven't got that original thought, it'll never work. There's enough soil and dirt here in this world to make billions and billions and billions and billions of bodies, but they'll never come forth. But no foreknowledge concerning them. See? You get all clothes, you got all food with the clothing of the idea. You got too much spent on this clothing idea. Get back to where it came from. How are you going to have a car unless there's an inventor? See? The unexpected. If I foreknew you, it is like me painting a picture. Before I produce it physically, it is already produced in my mind. It is already there and can be produced if I have the ability to do it. It is conception. I need strength to bring it to birth. God never did conceive a thing He couldn't bring to birth. Now please note carefully, as we read again, Romans 8, 28 to 30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. Notice, not just called, but the called. According to His purpose. Not just called now, but called according to purpose. Many are called, but few are chosen. Sure, millions will answer the gospel call. They'll even fall for this message. They glory to God, that's God is right. And then turn on the message. All the time saying they believe it. See? According to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He, the Son, might be the firstborn. How the firstborn? From amongst the dead. Many brethren, Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified. Now notice, in verse 28, what's Paul talking about? All things work together for good to them who love God. And who love God? The called. Now notice, our subject is the call. Never mind the purpose, just the call, though the purpose is there too. Notice now, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn in the earth. Now that's the plan. See? Those called were already back there. Now notice verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called. He takes the calling from two aspects. The called are here. Look right here. See where my hand in the middle. Back here is eternity. Over here, in the middle, is where they're going to be. Now he works on them. But they were worked on and predestinated before they got here to be worked on. Do you follow me? Did somebody not get it? Let me go over it again. Look, here's the curtain, right? This is the call. You don't realize, but here are people. This is where my fist is. Call. Now he said, those calls, I call them according to my purpose. And now, let me get it here now. He said, for we know all things were together good, them that are called. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. See? Foreknown. Here. Predestinated in his mind. The destiny worked out here, see? About whom these called ones. See? Now notice, but they got to be here before they're called. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, he called. See? Right here. Now he justifies. Why? And he glorifies. Why? Because it's according to election, his purpose is worked out. Then you tell me this is something that God just knew who'd come and who wouldn't come? By a foreknowledge, knew how they'd act and how they wouldn't act? He says them. Didn't say the plan. He said them. Individuals. Exactly what the word teaches. Foreknown and predestinated are certain ones. Who are they? They are the called. What happens to them? They get justified and glorified. See, there is, as it were, a sort of pre-existence. I said a sort of pre-existence. That's the best I can teach you, so let it be there. Then he calls them to him and justifies and glorifies. See? What he had up here in his wisdom, he speaks into existence down here, brings it out. Now he does what he said he's going to do to those ones and nobody else. See? Now, and all things are working to their good. Why? Because they are the masterpiece of God. See, nothing's going to spoil this purpose and plan. Now, let us see if we can sort of fortify our thinking in this. Here are special people, foreknown of God and predestinated to the plan. They're foreknown of God and predestinated to the plan. Let's go back again to Genesis and see this. I want to keep getting my types here. The best I can. 1:26 and 27 again. And God said, let us make man in our image, after a likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, cattle, and all over the earth, over every creeping thing creeps the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created he them. Now, we know, of course, that they were created, first of all, a spirit being, one person, both male and female. Right? Now, go to Genesis, the second chapter. And the fifth verse, it says, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had caused it to rain upon the, not caused to rain upon the earth, and notice, and there was not a man to till the ground. See? Verse 7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now notice this. The plan was, I've got to have a man to till the ground. See? Now what was it? They were already existing in spirit. Weren't they? Then he clothed them in flesh. According to the plan. Now can't you see predestination, election, foreknowledge all right there? If you can't, you've got God all bungled up. It won't work any other way. Say, Brother Bill, I have a job understanding. You should do, believe it, and you'll find you'll understand it. But you keep bucking it, you'll never get it. You will never get it. You'll get embittered, maybe, because it's a very touchy subject. And you'll hurt yourself. But you leave it until you see. If you can't see this, there's something wrong somewhere. Because Brother Branham said, it's got to follow the pattern.
Amen.
That's why even abortion is not murder, as people say it. Just remember, Brother Branham said what I just said right there. Put it together, you'll find out. We don't have time to talk about everything, please. Adam was both foreknown and predestinated and called to the plan, which was a man of the soil. So are we, just as individually called as Adam to the plan. That makes foreknowledge and election personal, just like as with Adam. The choosing of the bride is according to foreknowledge. Foreknown. See? Now remember, you're not talking about a man's works, you're talking about the man. See? Don't say, well, I know what Jacob was going to do, and God knew what Esau was going to do, and God knew what Israel was going to do, and God knew what Isaac was going to do. It's talking about the members, brother, sister, and not what they were going to do, but who. Not what, but who. Not how, and when, and where, and why, but who. Is that right? Amen. Let's just keep our thinking straight then. See, God's got his all straight. All right, Ephesians 1, 3, and 4 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing, all of it, all the wisdom of God, everything that God could produce and lavish upon us in the heavenly places in Christ, in whom all things were poured. According as he has chosen us in him before there was even a world. Before there was a piece of dirt to make a man out of. How could he do it? Because of his wisdom and his great ability. Omniscience and omnipotence. And remember, he can't make a mistake. Everything he does is perfect. He doesn't have to think it out. It just is there, see? Chosen. Now, let's look at this. Chosen means to pick out for oneself. Choose out from preference, favor, or love. Now, when you think of choosing, there is a choice involved. Now, there can be no choice unless there is more than one to choose from. Sure.
Amen.
Now, here is where we find something to enlighten us in Romans 9. Let's go to Romans 9. And read it. I know that's going to sound pretty startling in the fact that you say, well, how can there be a choice? How's God going to choose if he just knew these ones? Well, how many thoughts does God have? How much wisdom has God got? Everything you see right here is part of God's wisdom. Now, you may not believe it, but it is. Talk all you want about the devil having his hand in this thing. There's still God's wisdom right back out there. Sure. And it's going to be manifested and shown all the ages through the bride. So let's just hold on. All right? In Romans, the 9th chapter, we got a long reading here. So we read. Verse 1 beginning. They read almost the whole chapter. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish to myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertains the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of law, the service of God, the promises, whose are the fathers, of whom are concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. See? Neither because are they the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for seed. Alright, it's a special kind of thinking. See? The manifold wisdom, not God just thinking a plan, but God putting the plan within the plan within the plan like a door within a door within a door is narrowed right down to a keyhole almost. But it's all necessary and it's all there. It's all His great wisdom. The children of promise are counted for seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. See? Not Hagar, not Keturah. Hagar had one and Keturah had seven. That doesn't do it. Got to be by Sarah. And not only this one, Rebecca had also conceived by one husband. See? For the children not being yet born, neither have done any good or evil. That's the purpose of God according to election, according to choosing, might stand not of works, but of Him that calleth. See? Where was that choice made? Before the foundation of the world, in God's thinking to bring forth a masterpiece, He brought two men on this earth. And He said, one's bride and one's not. And they had to come with the predestiny. They were born to that end. For it is written, it is said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. She went to God and said, what's this fight going on in my womb? And the Lord said, you've got two manner of people. Two manner of people. Two kinds. Different. It's not just people, a vast gulf. Like there's animals out there, a horse and a cow. They're animals. You got two manner people. Elect and non-elect. Elect and reprobate. See, and so on. We'll get into it. The elder shall serve the younger. As it's written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Why? Because it was in the wisdom. And love is, now listen, love is election and hate is reprobation. What should we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Now you see we're going to question His wisdom right now. See? Well, now how can you question God's wisdom if He just left it till this moment? Well, here's your free choice. Come and get it. You say, well, now glory to God. Hallelujah. You can't question God there. Certainly you couldn't. But you're questioning Him here. Well, come on. Are we throwing the subject up or aren't we? Let's get the answer to the question. Not that I want to lord it over anybody. That's not the purpose. I only preach this way in order to get us on the truth. I want to know myself, see? For He said up to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. All right, where is He going to show it? In the brine. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God. Who shows the mercy? According to what? His wisdom. For the scripture said to Pharaoh, even for this same purpose,
have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Raised him up out of the ground. Bringing that man through generations until he could produce a boy. Now, therefore have he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hire. How's that got to do? Where is his wisdom there? enemy, why did he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that reviest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him, the end is formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over thee, clay, of this same lump to make one vessel under water, and another is honor? Can he take of the same lump and make it Israel, or take of the meat salt? Can he not take them over to the barrel, identify them, cut them open, analyze their blood, same thing? The potter power of the clay? What is God willing in verse 22? To show his wrath and to make his power known. Endured with much long suffering the vessel he fitted to wrath, fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory.
The very membership of the bride. He had to have them. Now the point is this, he had to have them, he had to have a bride. Right. Now you see, they're all people. After a fashion. Just, you see, let's remember this, folks. When God uses this word here, there is a lot of this word that all he can do because of our finite minds is to attempt to put it before us so we'll get it. It takes a revelation so you believe it and understand it through the grace of God so you don't see it all. But you see, I want you to see the pointer. To me, it's very, very clear, but sometimes there's a little obscurity, but it's not so bad. Now notice now in verse 6, you see, concerning what we find here about this choice. Now notice here, not as though the word of God had taken none effect. What word? The manifested word, which is the foreknowledge of God bringing forth this people. Say, look at there now. They say, well, isn't all of Israel supposed to be what you say in your word in Abraham? They all get blessed. Everyone is per se one of these brides. He said, oh, no, it's election. She said, well, the word of God's gone to the ground then. It says in Abraham. Noah said, hold it. No, sir. It indicated through one, through Isaac. And Isaac types Christ. So it was only those foreknown in him. The word of God hasn't fallen to the ground. No siree. Spoken word's original seed. You better believe it. Now, see, first now, holding this in mind, let's go to Luke. Because we're going to find this choice, where it came from. What's this choice all about? What I can't explain, I'll make a statement on as best I can from Brother Branham. Let it go. All right, Luke 3:23-24, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, which was the son of Matthew, which was the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, and so on. Now let's get all the way down here to verse 37 and 8, which was the son of Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Jared, which was the son of Melalel, which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. In other words, his source was of God. Now go to Genesis 4:1. Genesis 4:1. Genesis 4:1. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now Genesis 5:4. And the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Where are those sons? Why aren't they in the genealogy? They're not in the genealogy, none of them. See? Now, you remember now, Cain is not in the genealogy because he's circumcised. Enoch, Seth is in the genealogy. Enoch's in the genealogy. And coming down to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and down to Christ, that's genealogy. See? Now all these rest are here. Because when he said to Adam, be fruitful and multiply and populate the whole earth. That's exactly what he said and what he meant. And out of that, he had a foreknown, predestinated, elected seed coming down. See? Now, if God had a choice before creation, then there must have been many to choose from. But the chosen that he chose were in Christ. They were in union with him. They had to be a part of him. They had to be a part of that word. See? That is why we see two descriptions of Adamic life. First of all, the spirit. Then the man put in the flesh. Then we see the interjection of serpent seed. See? Which makes what? Three groups of people. The true children of God, serpent seed, and an indeterminate group that are not in the genealogy, and they are not in the election, neither are they serpent seed. See? Now, here is your Lamb's Book of Life, and the Book of Life, and life with no record. You follow me now? You getting it? Don't be puzzled, it's all there. Let's look at it, because it's in the Bible. Revelation 21. Verse 7. He that get the right verse here now. Verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither worketh abomination, nor maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the bride, right? New Jerusalem. See? Sure it is. Notice. No wise enter in anything that defileth. There's nothing in them to defile. Neither worketh abomination. Short skirt women, short hair, they're not going to make it. Talk in tongues all they want. Jump up and down, scream. Prophesy, go ahead. False prophet. People try to tell you more than one messenger to this age. Try to tell you that in age, if Brother Branham being that servant of God, that prophet, all the mysteries have to come by him. Either he's got to come back or he done had him. He said he done had him. He said when he's gone, you look around and say, oh, wasn't this supposed to pass? This supposed to have? He said, done passed you by. You're waiting for the still small voice to bring you revelation. That's all. I can't bring it either. Nobody can bring it. Best we can do is preach and see what God will do with it. Sure. The abomination. Make it a lie. New. Make it what a lie. Make it the word. Change one word. Not in it. But they whose names which are written when? Before that foundation. Why? Because they're part of him. How can you give life to anything that's not a part of you? I don't believe in transferred organs, brother, sister. I don't mind blood transfusion, a few things like that, but I'll tell you one thing. That blood's got to take hold. You've got to have the life, or that blood will do you no good.
That's right.
You've got to be a part of him if you're going to be that bride. That's Lamb's life. Now notice, Lamb's life is first. And it proves it by the fact that Adam was Lamb-like, because no place in Scripture is he called anything but the Son of God. Now what came next? Life came next. Son. But their name's not in the record. Then what? Serpent seed. See, let's look at it now. That's the next verse I want to read is Revelation 20, 12 verse. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book is open, which is the Book of Life, and the dead were judged out of those things written in the books according to their works. See? And verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast in the lake of fire. See? Now, this is the book you can get your name taken off of. Book of Acts. Because God has the record of every single person being born in that chain of life. There is not one single solitary one who is not in a measure a thought of God but wasn't in Christ. Every single person has got it in there by foreknowledge. That's exactly why reprobation God picked up and said, Pharaoh, for this cause have I raised thee up just as much as I took Moses for this. As much as I've taken this one for my plan before the foundation of the world, I have done this also. See, now I know this sounds very strange, but we can't help what we read. We only go by the word. Now, all this was in the mind of God as necessary to the purpose, but only a part was in union with Him. See, all of these people. Book of Last Book of Life, Book of Life, no book, no life mentioned period. Serpentine has got no record. That's the animal. When did God take a record of animals? See? All that was in the mind of God as necessary to the purpose. To the purpose. What purpose? That there be this elected bride to show forth all the many faceted wisdom of Almighty God through all ages. See? Now, only a part was in union with Him, only a part chosen for bride, because that is Ephesians 5, 22 to 32. On the husband and wife. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husband, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. Only the church takes the Word. The rest don't take the Word. They don't come in by the Word that the church does. That He might present it to Himself a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, and that it would be holy and without blemish. Now, if that's the case, let's go back, just hold your finger there. Let me read again then here in the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed with all spiritual blessing places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. In love, having predestined us. It's a predestiny that you're going to be part of that bride and be in that particular, peculiar position, see? Without blemish. So men ought to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. That's Christ. As many as I love, He said. In this end time when the bride is so messed up with everybody else and everything's such a mess, naked, blind and all, and don't know discernment at all, they don't know righteousness from wickedness, and He said, as many as I love, I'm going to rebuke and chasten. I'm going to train you up like a parent trains his child, see? For no man hates his own flesh. He loves it. He nourishes it, even as the Lord nourished the church. He's nourishing us. How? On the Word, which is Christ Himself, which the prophet left us. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. See? And what is this? This is a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ and church. Your brother Branham said, you're dead to the creeds and dogmas. You're dead to your old thing. Get in the truth this morning and believe the Word of God as far as you can. If maybe you're not elect, you come up in the second resurrection. But don't turn on that Word and say, I believe this because I believe it that way. Say what the prophet said. As he said, if you don't understand it, say what I said. Now, all of this was in the mind. This was in the mind of Christ, yes. Now, Christ and the bride are one, in that she was in Him as Eve was in Adam. Now listen, Eve was Adam's own creation, as it were. His own offspring or daughter she was. She was in Him. Became separated from Him. a part of his life, Adam's, was missing, being separated by the flesh. The same thing took place. The separation from God could only come by the flesh. As long as Adam was in that spirit form, there was absolutely no thought of a fall. There couldn't be. But when he was put into that flesh, and the woman taken from him, he separated, then she could fall. And that's exactly how we are. We were in him and separated him down here in the flesh, which is sinful, causing that separation. But God, through mercy, now in all his wisdom, will bring us back to that time where all the ages will never cease to wonder of the glory and wisdom that God showed in us. See, that is the bride also. She was in him, became separated by flesh, but one day he will get her back. But Christ had to become flesh to do it. We read that in Hebrews, and I have to read it again. He became flesh to do it. Now, to get more light, let us go back again to Romans 9. Nine, 1 to 7. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My cause is evident, and so on. Now he says here, in the words I want, not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now you can see here the word of God only affects the word bride. The word of God goes to none effect every single time. It has no effect out there in the world. Serpent seed can't touch it. Make believer can't touch it. Can't do it. No, sir. There's only one person go for that word, and that is the bride. And the word of God takes effect. Now, that word of God came to Israel. See, didn't Moses gave it? Is that right? Who took it? Two people got in the kingdom. See? Then what happened? They turned their judges down. They turned their prophets down. They turned everything down that God ever sent. They turned the word of God down himself. And now Paul says, look, he said, can't the word of God produce anything? And he said, now I'm telling you, the word of God's effective. Because all Israel is not Israel. All Christians are not Christians. All bride is not bride. In other words, all church is not bride, but the bride is bride. You see? Won't take, but because it's in Isaac the seed is. It's in Christ. And if you're in Christ, you will be in that word, see, because that is that word. Why? Because he is the word. And the bride is the word. Remember, Christ, remember, Isaac could only marry his own relation. Adam had to marry his daughter. Christ marries his daughter. You cannot produce anything. You cannot have a union bound by God unless like marriage like. That's exactly why many marry today. There'll be one up there in millennium and the other will be down going to hell. Because he married some sex part. That's right. He looked around and got the flesh. If it hadn't been for the grace of God, I'd been just as stupid. I don't condemn men because I know where I stood years ago myself. I don't think either my wife or I for 1 minute would have married each other except with God's plan. We're 100% different. Good thing we are. And I know I blow my stack and she never blows hers, which is good. She keeps her on the inside where every good wife should keep it, and I keep it outside where every bad husband keeps it. That's right. I tell you, that's right. If Jesus Christ prayed for the bride, every man ought to pray earnestly about a wife or don't get it. And every woman ought to be trying to jazz around the country to pick up a man because they're a dime a dozen. Each belongs to seed. Christ had to marry his own. And there is no such thing as a marriage solemnized by God, even here in the flesh, unless that husband has sought that bride before God. He hasn't done anything. You're not married. Though you're physically joined, God will hold you to it. But you haven't got the marriage God. See, marriage is supposed to symbolize what's in Christ. He's got to be your flesh even before you come to it. That's the way the bride is. You haven't prayed through it yet. How do you know what you got? And I'm not trying to break up marriage, just telling you, but the Lord will make it out. Brother Branham said, you get the right one over there. There won't be any marriage union. It'll be just your counterpart because we came in the two to begin with. We'll have to be the same one. He said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. It is in Christ. See? If we were part of him, he is the word, And if we were part of him, we are also Word. See, just like Adam and Eve. The Word of God, the plan or purpose of God, is only in effect in the seed, which is in him, Christ, and released through Adam into the human race, and got that by foreknowledge and election based upon decree. Now we begin. The Word of God, the plan of God, or purpose of God, is only in effect in the seed, which is in him, the Christ, and released through Adam into the human race. That's how it gets the physical body. And then got back by the foreknowledge and election of God based upon decree. He gets it back. Why? Because it was there and he traces the truth. Now let's find out. Acts 13:18. No, it's got to be 13 and 48. It can't be 13:48-18. Good thing I know my scripture better than I know where my notes. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified God, and as many as were ordained. As many as were ordained. When? Before the foundation? The word ordained commanded. Absolutely decreed. As many as had been decreed. You think God looks down and then decrees? How can that be before the foundation of the world? Now listen, it said they were decreed, and that's the only reason they believe. If you put it the other way, then they've got to believe to get the decree. But the Bible said they were decreed. It was ordained that they do believe. Acts 13:48. See? Belief what? Belief of the truth. Which is what? The Word. See? That's your Lamb's Book of Life. Because Lamb life is original. See, I mentioned him. Watch my carefully now. He's tracing the truth. Adam was the son of God, or more correctly, Adam was of God or out of God. God was his source. Christ the Word. Then to Adam was given ability to produce life, which actually only God can do. So, in Adam comes down two lines. Those born after the will of God, and those born after the will of man, but nonetheless born in this channel of one lump. Now hold in mind, go back to John 1. I'm still explaining one lump and how this comes about. How this life is on the earth, and yet there's coordination. So go to John, the first chapter. See, the show's recorded, but it wasn't recording. Now see, it's recording now. As received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's the authority to trace the son. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You've got it all in there. You've got blood, flesh, will of man. And that's right. You're going to have it. The will of the flesh just simply affects that. And many are born of it. In periods of uncleanness and so on. Many are born, they have bloodline. Of course, the will of man enters in the whole thing. I'm not quite sure of the will of the blood. That could be a seasonal thing, but this could be what happened to the serpent of Eve. But they all come out here. They're all one lump. But it says there is one that is a bride. They are placed as sons, and they are. I can't figure that. You've got a group in here positively that are of God. See, now that's what Acts says again. 13 and 48. those ordained unto eternal life believed the word.
See?
As John 1:14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten, the Father full of truth. Now who is it? The word they beheld. Did anybody else behold it? Nobody but the bride. They never comprehended it. Nobody but the bride. Now there'll be millions come up in the resurrection, they'll get eternal life, but they won't be in the bride. Never make the bride, they can't do it. Why? Because they weren't part of the word. It's only word can see word and comprehend it. Like John said, we handle the word of life, but nobody else said it was the word of life, because John did it. Scribes and Pharisees never called the word of life. See? So you got then God's plan, where he knew all which would be. As Brother Brown said, he knew how many times a little flea on every planet bat its eyes. And he knows everybody ever come in this world. And he knew there'd be serpent seed, he knew there'd become the lion of the flesh, and he knew within this it all be the sons of God. Because he said, you populate the earth, and all from every city of Eve, he said, in sorrow I multiply your conception. Had they never fallen for the trick of the devil, they could have had children of God, just like this, even by birth. Although God brought them out of the ground. But when he said, you do it, it is my estimation he could have. I don't say he would. But they could have acted according to I see Scripture. If God would have allowed the sex act, they'd have brought forth children of God, just one piece of down the nine. If they brought them out of the ground, it would have been just the same way. Their light coming from them, they'd have projected their light to them, bring them out of the ground. The same thing. But the minute, you see, the minute they took the other course, now it came right by sex. You've got two groups. God's children got to come by Adam, and so does the sex man. Human, just the ordinary human beings. But not serpent seed, because they're the different seed. One is Book of Life, Lamb's Book of Life. See, there's your Lamb's Book of Life members, and your Book of Life members, and your serpent seed members. They're all now in one lump. We all got together. These sons of God saw the daughters of men, the Adam, the daughters of the Adam. Married the whole bunch of them. The very elect, he should have married his own sister by God's plan, and they would have married their sisters, their children, all by God's plan, but they came over here, this other group, and this other group. These were the groups that got mixed up. Sons, the daughters of the Adam, this bunch here, of the flesh, got over here this bunch, they all got one big group. By the time of the flood, there was maybe one man left Noah. Thus we can see, now in Romans 9, this one lump, 11 to 23, for the children being not yet born, neither having done either good or evil, that the purpose of God bringing forth this bride might stand in election. God's not going to have everybody running up and say, oh, I believe that. Hey, I like it. I'm going to be part of that. Yeah, hey, you're doing a good job in the picture. Let me use your brush. I'll put a little stroke in it. Yeah, cut your arm off and dry. Want to lose your arm? Pick a brush. The man drinks it. Oh, I love the wedding scene. Oh, this is great. I just love the dance. Hey, hold it. You don't have a garment on. Oh, that's okay. I'll just circulate amongst the crowd. I just like that. Sure. Here it is. That's the truth. Now, reading the end, as written, Jacob ever loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is it right with God? God did. He said to Moses, I'll have mercy, and will have mercy, compassion, will have compassion, and so on. And you know all the rest of that reading. Now let's go back to Genesis, the third chapter. Verse 14-15. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed of all cattle, and every beast that feel upon thy belly shalt go and dust eat all the days of life. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You see? And Genesis also, the third chapter, and 16-20. On the woman he said, I'll greatly multiply thy sore and thy conception, and so shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to hug me to rule over thee.
that Adam, he said, because of hearkening unto the voice of that wife, eat the tree of which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat, curse the ground for thy sake, and so shall eat all the Israelites. Thorns and all and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. The sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, that thou return to the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust art, and the dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Notice that, all the living. She was the mother of every, of all the kind. Serpent seed, let me, no names in the book of life, names in the book of life, and the last book of life. Mother of all. There wasn't one that she didn't start. All of them came out of her. But remember, there's only the two evidently came out of Adam. Because there's lineage which is not in the scripture. Is not in there. Adam through Seth and Enoch and down the line, right to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and so on down to Christ. But the others aren't even mentioned. But theirs is a record of life. See? Because Lamb life is original. Everything is original and is good, then becomes perverted. See, life is not the original. Lamb's life is original. There's one plant, one book. See? And here's how it all came. Now, it is this as we see here, brought about through sets and all, through the plan of God, of course. It's all done by foreknowledge and all. God knew it. And that this brings us to Matthew 25, 36 to 45. Which we won't read. You don't have to, you know it. It has to do with Christ sitting upon the throne of his glory in the white throne judgment. And the bride is sitting with him, according to Daniel, the seventh chapter. She's in the throne. And according to Revelation 3, she's in the throne. According to 1 Corinthians 6, she's in the throne. She's judging the world by Christ Jesus, and in there, the word is out. See? Now, who comes up? Serpent seed comes up. He said, I never knew you. They never had your name on anything. Set the record. Well, I prophesied. I did this. I did. He said, you're half. It did just what your father, the devil, did. You were guarding my holy word up there as he was, and he perverted it. And you did the very same thing, taking my power, my name, everything I gave you, perverted it. I never knew you. Now the rest come up in their name. Who are you? Well, I'm told that that's right. You were good to the bride. I can see you were very good to the bride. That's fine. And you did this and you did that. You did the best you could under your knowledge, limited knowledge and all these things. Here's your name, the book of life. All right, there it is. Another one comes up. He had his free choice. That's your whosoever will. He comes up and said, you had your chance in this. I don't understand this, brother, sister. All I can do is tell what I know. The elect, the whosoever, the chaff, the serpent seed, they're all there. To trace it by the natural election, I can only guess at it. And my guess is this. The only guess I can see is this. You know, I can't even guess because I just take the scripture that Adam had other children. And all are not the children of God. They are children of the flesh. There are many born within this life. And though we cannot qualify in the serpent seed, they're sort of reprobate, yet you cannot call it complete perversion, because that would destroy the plan of God. Now, we must go further. And over many other facets, we'll simply go hurriedly. But notice, back here again, in Ephesians, that third chapter, where it says the manifold wisdom of God. God's full wisdom coming into play to bring his bride to himself. So great is this wisdom that all eternity can only wonder at it. Now, what were some of the other facets of his wisdom demonstrating his attributes? Now, see, I'm not going to take time on it. Because this is why you know we could take another, it takes three hours preaching to get these others in. I wouldn't even begin to touch that. Well, in him was to be father. See? Now, he had to show this, that he had to bring out these facets of fatherhood, and he created this human race on earth whereby he could bring forth children that he could be a father to and to train them. And that's exactly why he had these reprobates and these others there. Just like Israel tantalized Isaac, even so the world tantalizes and defrauds and is wicked to the bride, and the bride can't hurt bride. The bride loves bride. You love the love of God, and God loves the bride. Your husband loves the wife. If you're bride, you'll rejoice in bride. You won't be going around pulling political views and doing dirty things and saying bad things. You'll be doing everything you can to build up your brother and love your brother, just be part of that way. And who's going to do it? Who's going to be responsible? God's got to train his servant. He's got to have this. The only way he can do it is by leading these in. He was also to be husband of this. What did he do? He will bring forth a bride fit to be his wife, but it's got to be his kind of a wife. She's got to reflect him, or she's no good in him. And he was salvation. So the bride has got to fall in the ground by way of the flesh in order that he brings her up and saves her. He was in him with mercy. So he falls into disrepute and with him. And he said, look at the sin. You've been fornicating, living like out there. But he said, I'm going to redeem you. In him was judgment. So he has the judger, but he judged Jesus Christ and he judges the world. In him was grace. So he demonstrates his grace by her being in her dire need. In him was love. So he brought her a place where she was unlovely that he might love her. In him was life. So he imparts his life in the new birth. In him is resurrection. So the bride goes to ground where he can bring her up. In him was creation. So he creates her new out of the dust. Not around that old body, but around the word that is in him. In him was anger at wickedness. So he must be angry at the wicked because he cannot be angry at his own bride. In him was peace. And he must bring around the world here that shows distress and its rock condition that she might find her peace in him. God is the complete fullness. That fullness was in Christ. And that fullness descended upon the bride. One facet of his wisdom could not be it. Creator making you greater. How will that manifest his wisdom? It cannot. It takes the bride. There is no other way. In her is demonstrated creation. For he'll take her from the dust again and bring her back living. And she'll pass from death unto life and be glorified, never to die again. In him, his complete righteousness. So he takes the bride and demonstrates the perfect righteousness by imputation. In him is forgiveness. He forgives the bride. All of these things are in Christ. In him is a husband. He makes the bride, he is the husband to the bride. In him is king, so he raises up substance. Now listen, in him is king, so he raises up substance. He and the bride may rule it. There's the religion. There's the religion. Why did God let this religion in his judgment? Why do you mean he's got to be judgment? He opens the door. You can come in if you want. You come up with the second resurrection. He says you did the best you could. The heathen get the gospel preached, and millions come in. See? In him is king. See? He's got to have a resurrection. What happened to 144,000 churches around? The rest of some human prophecy. In him is completion. So he gathers up all the bride and destroys all the chaff. Gathers up all those who qualify to come into eternal life. There it is. This alone can do it. This alone. In the last day, brother, sister, he does one more thing. Your great wisdom is manifest by the pillar of fire and the living word. In order to take a bride, he cannot die because he teaches it that. He should die. There is a mystery of the rapture. And the mystery of the rapture, as I spoke on last Sunday morning, he, in his wisdom, take and bring forth the revealed word of the inside in the fullness that only the bride can possibly understand, which can never be duplicated, which Satan can never get a hold of. This is nothing that can be perverted, most of you. This is the end time where God will face on the earth in his wisdom a bride that will completely manifest himself right before she dies. And in her will be found the mighty works of God. This will bring about the resurrection, which in turn will bring about the end. This in the wisdom of Almighty God. He is showing his wisdom right today, and men are falling flat. They are absolutely unaware of the wisdom of God, bringing his word as the word says, whether you make it. The word brought by a prophet, and they turn down the prophet, they turn down the word, they turn down God, and they come up in the second resurrection, and millions upon millions come up. They'll be servants to the kingdom of God. And his glory, the Bible says, in his glory will shine. He shall be like him, one is like him. See this, I say tonight. But that's not his fellowship. The fact is, the bride is made through the many facets of the wisdom of Almighty God, that in her and through her might be demonstrated all the glory. There's your Matthew, there's your God. God did it, and he's doing it. We only hope that we're part of it. As Paul said, make your calling and election good. There's something left for us to do. See, there's where they get mixed up. They say, well, that anybody can come through. Then you're called to do it. Amen. But there are those who make their election through. How do you make it through? You've got to be wordless. Because the Bible tells them nothing gets in this perverse. You've got to get back to being sure to turn down everything. Let no man come before you. Say, well, I'm going to add this to what Brother Van said. Well, I'm going to take away that. Well, let me explain it. No, you just don't know. As I said this morning, they're bringing you down. You come way faster. You know what? You could hear these people go away just almost faster. Okay? And yet, do my best to try to hear you. Just bring you. Don't get to you. It's as simple as that. Don't look for these great things. Just let God make clear, scripture by scripture, what the prophet said. That's good. That's good. This isn't going to be I'm not going to be. Because he is a lesson. He is a lesson for all people. But he said, he's going to get glory from all of you. Thank you. Well, that's the story. May the Lord bless you. This building, of course, Brother Jack Bell coming up this week for a little visit, so I asked if he'd mind preaching. And he said he will preach on some nice week if we can get together. Doesn't matter where he's at. He's going to have a meeting on the kind of place. Brother Wall has got a place on that. Not too far to go somewhere. So I'll be in touch with all of you folks. And then I think that he can even preach this coming Sunday. For you, at least while he's on vacation, he'll visit me, but I've got to be gone next Sunday. I'm committed now. I'm a week late, as usual. Hopefully, some 2 years late, but this one's on the week late, in 1 month already. So I'll have him gone Sunday, and try to be Sunday for some to even attempt to cover some of my schedule. So, but anyway, Brother Jack, as long as he's around, he's glad that he's put the service to do for you. And then you see where you go from there and how things work up. I can't say much of this because if I felt I could just do something, I did, but it's something you have to work yourself. So that's fine. I'll be in touch with that all day and day. Gracious Heavenly Father, you know now what's on the heart of all of us. How we long, O God, to be part of that line and to be there for Lord Jesus, that which brings forth what you have said would come forth, that through all the ages the manifold wisdom of God would be seen by Jesus Christ in the bride. Lord, when people would think, oh, great things coming, great tremendous statesmen, great this and great that, and oh, the great wisdom of God is what's being brought to pass right now, that holy purpose consummated by foreknowledge, predestination, yes, oh God, may your people tonight today help us, Lord. Help us to believe your word. Help us to believe your word, O God, that we can. Help us to believe your word. To be a part of that word. To show we are God's people. And under the King eternal and morning vision of the only wise God, we all power and honor and glory to you, Jesus Christ. Amen.